We're going to talk about leadership. Leadership. And I had you just look around the room. You could stop the looking, please. It's taking this a bit too far over here. He's like, oh, you look lovely. Okay. Everyone that you've looked at is a leader, whether you want to be or not. Everyone that you set eyes on, every male, every female, everyone is a leader, whether or not you have engaged your thinking as a leader, whether or not you want to be a leader, you will lead. Every one of us will influence someone's decision to do right or to do wrong. And even if you disengage completely, you will still lead someone. We're going to look at one young man's life and what he did and why his leadership was effective. Why his leadership was effective. When I mentioned the name Josiah, everyone will say, ah, yes, Josiah. King at the age of 8. Made reforms in the nation. But for our purposes, we need to evaluate in light of what we see in our society. We see leaders. We see people making decisions to take certain courses of action and influencing others. Sometimes for ill, sometimes for good. For us, as the Lord's people, sooner or later we will need to have a fundamental grasp of what is required to be effective, irrespective of who is looking at our lives. And every one of us who names Christ as Savior are accountable. In the 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles, it said, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of Jehovah, and walked in the ways of his father David, and turned not aside to the right hand nor to the left. These two verses gives us a encapsulated view of his entire life, if you will, and his role as king. And in this capsule is given to us three fundamental areas that touched his life, the order of which is absolutely important, and missing any component, we will not lead aright. Now, you might suggest to yourself that I am not going to be in a position of leadership. You are in a position of leadership. Why? Because someone somewhere is looking to you as to what they should do, since they consider themselves in your shoes. You are living in the circumstance that they perceive themselves in. And they will watch your life and determine from your life what they will do. And it makes no difference what your role is. In this case, he was king. In your case, you might be a father, a mother, a daughter, a son, a cousin, an uncle, an elder, a single sister, a widow, a widower. Makes no difference. Someone somewhere unknown to you, is watching me. Absolutely. And here for Josiah, the Spirit of God would have us see three things. If you forget everything else, don't forget this. You cannot forget this. Firstly, he did what was right in the sight of Jehovah. His first and foremost priority, regardless of the circumstances that he found himself in, is what does God think about what I'm about to do? It's really just that simple. Whatever your role, whatever mine. Couple to be or married couple to be. Single individual. What does God think about what I'm doing today, now, with the decisions that are before me? He did what was right in the sight of God. He made an evaluation as to what is God's response to what I'm doing. And he ordered his steps according to the worldview, if I may put it that way, of God in time. Very simple. And every one of us, no matter what our circumstances, will have to choose God's way or my way. There are no three choices. And I don't know is not one of the options. Jesus says, he who is not for me is against me. And for the fence sitters, since you have not chosen to be for him, you're against him. Sometimes I tell my sons that. What do you think? And I said, I don't know is not one of the options. And even if you do say it, the fact that you did say it tells me you're not for it. So go ahead, answer now. And I could see them turning the wheels in their minds saying, oh my goodness, why me? Why him? And I told them all after that, I said, 15 years from now, you'll love me. You'll love me. You will worship the ground I walk on. You will love me. I said, right now you don't love me, but that's okay. He did what was right in the sight of God. If you miss that, if you remove that, if you choose your own way, you're going to lead still. Watch the effect of your leadership. Secondly, he walked in the ways of his father David. Absolutely essential for the Christian. Now, you may not know Christ as Savior. You may be sitting here saying, I'm not really sure where I stand. You're still leading. Because someone is going to look at your life and say, it is okay to reject Christ. The afterlife makes no difference. There is nothing coming after. And they will follow your path. And you will surely give an account of your influence. You will be held accountable. Bible tells us that Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. He died for you. And that person looks to you as to what you will do with this one called Jesus Christ. What will you do? It was not for his crimes that he died. It was yours. Yours against God. And God commands men everywhere to repent. There's not an option here. You may choose it because God has given you free will, but you will be held accountable for the choices you've made because God in his love moved to take care of your issues before you came into this world. He was moved by love for you. Josiah looked for someone who walked the talk. He looked for someone he can pattern himself after. We live in an age where people say, well, everybody's doing it. No, beloved, not among the Lord's people. Why? Because God in his wisdom has provided in his word abundance of examples where we can pattern ourselves after. The word of God says that David was a man after God's own heart. You reason to yourself, well, he failed. Yes, he did. But watch how he failed. He failed, and when he was confronted concerning his failure, he owned it. How do you respond when someone tells you you've done something wrong? You deny it. You justify it. David owned it. All of it. And he acknowledged before God what his experience was while he resisted the work of the Spirit in his heart. But eventually he made it right with God completely. And he asked to be restored fully. And he said, I'll teach others who've gone astray. I will learn from my error and do it right. And Josiah patterned himself after a man who loved God, really loved him. And some of us are sitting saying, there's no one here for me to follow. No, beloved, there's sufficient examples of those who've walked the talk, who walked, failed, got up, kept on going. Why? They set their eyes on the prize. And so for Josiah as king, what did he do? Not only was he concerned what God, the God of heaven, thinks of the choices he will make, but he looked for one that he could say,
Follow this path.
Follow this path.
Sometimes as young people, we might say, well, I don't want to follow my parents. Fine. Legitimate. You believe your parents has failed. One day you'll be a parent. You'll understand. You'll understand. I remember when my firstborn was born, I was in a hospital, and I may have told the story here. You know when you're getting older when you tell the same story over and over, and you forgot who the audience was. But at that point, it doesn't make a difference. I'm going to tell it again. My son's laughing. I do have adult children, no matter what you think, okay? I was in a hospital. He was born prematurely, 6 months. Now, we're going back 20 years, 21 years. Back in the day, you get a preemie in your household. That's an iffy type of situation. Today, you know, a few months and they have them all sorts of machines. I remember I was sitting in the waiting room. I was in there. In fact, he came so quickly, I didn't get to see it. And I sat at that rainy night, looked through the window. I could still see the window. And I said, Lord, I didn't come from a Christian home. I told him just the way it is. I said, I don't know how to be a Christian father. But I said, you got to teach me. I'm there now. You got to teach me from your word how to do this right. And I'll tell you something, and I'm sure many of you could testify to it. When you go before God and you just lay your issues out, just put it out there. Not, you know, Holy Father and the glory. And I was like, Lord, I need you. I need you tonight. I'm a father. I need to know what to do. And what I have found in the years that our children have lived is that when you go to the word of God, God keeps his promise. He'll open the word to you. He'll make it so plain. You'll look around and say, was it just me seeing this or is it real? It's real. Showed us how to love children, how to discipline. I said discipline, how to discipline, how to encourage, how to praise them. How to straighten them out. How to hang with them. How to step aside and just be parent no matter what they say. He shows all of it. He embraced Israel. He disciplined Israel. He led Israel. He comforted Israel. And every time we opened the word of God, God was real. He showed by his example, you can do it. And you know what? He gives you the grace. He gives grace. You say, well, what's grace? He gives you the enablement to do what you know you just can't do anyway. And that's what I love about this. You learn how to do it. This young king looked back at David. He was dead already. And he followed his example. Thirdly, this is just introduction. Believe it or not. And turn not aside to the right hand or to the left. This third component, doing it, validating it for yourself. Everybody says God answers prayer. Do you pray? Don't shake your head. Don't move. Don't even twitch. I told them that nobody listens in 21st. Told them, don't move. Don't move. Good. He's smiling again. Do you believe God answers prayer? You say, well, yes, brother, I believe God answers prayer. Have you ever prayed in such a way that you know if God doesn't answer, you're done? You are turkey today. You're going to be cooked. Ever prayed like that? Ever stayed with God and reminded him, this is what you said. I'm resting. I've told people this is what you said. I'm on the hook. I remember when we were, I think of the young married couple. When my wife and I started out, those were rough times. I didn't come from a Christian home. I was in college at the time. My parents were old school. The eldest one's supposed to get married first. I was the youngest. In my junior year, I told my mother, this young lady, I'm gonna marry. My mother laughed at me. She laughed me to scorn. She was sweeping the floor and she's laughing. The tears are coming down her eyes. And I'm sitting there saying, my mother's laughing at me. She thinks I'm kidding. And she laughed. If you knew my mother, she loves to laugh anyway. And she laughed. And she laughed until she was exhausted. And I looked at her and I said, Mom, a year from now, when I get engaged, you're going to tell me I never even had the decency to tell you. Well, I got engaged. And she said, you know, those magic words. She never even had the decency to tell me. But when I was about to get married, senior year, I was in the telephone booth, told my dad, having difficulty. This was the latter half of our last semester. Couldn't find a job, J-O-B. not jump off bridge. Job. And my dad said, if you decide to get married, you cannot come home. So he threw down the gauntlet. Now here I am talking that God answers prayer. Here I am in a phone booth, jobless, in school, about to marry in 6 to 8 months. Got zero, diddly, nothing. And I said, Lord, on the phone, in the phone booth, in the student lounge, folks are waiting to use the phone, and I cannot let them know. My father just hung up on me, and he's 1,800 miles away, and I'm by myself, practically homeless now. And I said, Lord, you said when father and mother forsake you, you'll take me up. I said, Lord, I'm yours. Click. I hung up the phone, never knew where we were going to be, didn't know what was going to happen, but we stepped out in faith. Why? Because I said, Lord, here's what you promised. God saved my first year, had 4 years to prove these things, to find out by myself if they were true, prove they were true, and now God says, okay, there's the Red Sea. There are the Egyptians. What are you going to do? I said, Lord, you proved it before. Prove it again. I don't know what to do, but you need to tell me what to do. And in my heart, I said, I'm going forward. We are not turning back. My dad just blew up the bridge. 23 years later, we could tell you the stories till the cows come home. Prove it for yourself. Validate your faith. Live it. Live it. Forget about everybody else. You. Live it. Prove it. And when you have proven by the help and work of the Spirit of God, you'll never be the same person again. Ever. Now, with that said, this young king, I'll go about 10 minutes over. Please bear with me. This young king came to the throne, verse 3, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young. He began to seek the God of David, his father, and in the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the Asherahs and the graven images and the molten images. At 16, I won't ask your age, because I know sometimes young people are like, no, don't, please don't ask me how old I am. The day will come when he will always be 25, trust me. You're like, I'm 25. With 6 grandchildren. Still 25. In the 8th year of his reign, at 16, he began to seek God. This is vital. Remember what we said? He what? He did what was right in the sight of Jehovah. He has engaged his will, his understanding, his intellect, all that he is, to get a fundamental understanding of the nature of God. God can be known. He can be known. I'm telling you, this is why he's given us his word. That which defines explanation makes himself, as it were, predictable. Why? He wants to reveal himself. 16 years old, I want to know the God of my fathers. 4 years passed before he began to make changes. What does that tell you about the spiritual life? It takes time, folks. It takes time. Don't be a super Christian overnight. Seek to know God. Seek to genuinely know what he's like. When you open the word and you read the narrative and you were like, well, you know, Goliath came and David took a stone and killed Goliath and the people rejoiced and then they chased the Philistines and all was well. No. Look at it. And when you don't see it, say, Lord, help me to see what I can't see, what I need to see. And here's what you see. Young man. Whole army defied by one man. Little boy comes on the scene, 16, maybe 17, doing his father's errands. Heard this Philistine. His heart was moved for God. Why? Because when he took care of his father's business, he proved that God is. When the lion came and the bear came, he did his business. But he said, it was Jehovah who delivered me. And he's going to do it again. Why? This young man proved for himself personally that God is. And then when the circumstance came, all those other folks who had no real experience of God trembled in the face of a challenge. And David said, isn't there a cause here? that about etiquette? He wasn't proper.
There was a cause. And he stepped up. And he took care of business. Why? He could testify to the king. Here's what the Lord did for me. And I'm going to step out and prove it again. I look back on my own personal experience. And I thank God for it. I thank God for the difficult times. Why? Because I can prove you may not believe that God is. But guess what? You cannot take away my own testimony.
You say, well, brother, you failed. Yeah, I failed. And sometimes I looked and said, Lord, why you put up with me? Man, it's like failure is the name of the game here. But the righteous falls seven times. He gets right back up. Got to go. Keep my eye on the prize. Keep moving.
And then when we prove for ourselves that God really is, he's real to me,
no one can take it away from you. They could say they don't believe, but they can't explain how these things happened in your life, can they?
4 years passed before changes were made. It says here, in the 8th year, he began to see God. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah. Let's be practical. I like to be very hands-on because, you know, life is real. He's going to take her hand in marriage. And right now they're saying, well, everything is going to be just hunky-dory.
No, you're going to have some challenges. You're going to find out what's really within. You're going to want to be selfish sometimes.
You're going to have to know how to fight the fight. Really. Here it is. The more the time that I give to get to know God, that's when he'll change you. When you're seeking him, he's changing you. You're pursuing him and he's pursuing you. And you know what you need to do correctly when you're genuinely seeking him. It won't happen any other way. You will make, and I, some serious mistakes.
Well, I've been saved 15,000 years and I've been doing this a long time and I know, no, beloved.
No, 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 no. It is a constant submission to the will of the indwelling Spirit of God who is molding you and me. And when the time comes to find what's wrong, trust me, it will be so crystal clear. You won't need anybody to tell you what's wrong. You will see it for what it is. Why? You will begin to see life the way God sees it. You will see, you will have a God-centered world view. End of story. 20 years of age, he saw what was necessary to make changes in the world that he had control over. And this is what is so vital. Well, you say, but I'm a kid. I live with my parents. How do I know what to do? I assure you on the authority of God's word, if you personally seek God, personally, in time, took this young man, this young king, 4 years.
He had a whole lot more responsibility than you. Trust me.
But it still took time. And in that time, he was made to see what was necessary to be changed. In our society, there's a plethora of problems, issues, circumstances, broken homes, broken marriages, abortion. I mean, you could go down the list. There's so much wrong. And people are at their wit's end to know how to deal with it, how to make homes what they ought to be, how to make marriages what they ought to be. How will you know? How will you really know?
Here's how you know, for sure.
When you make it your purpose, I've got to know God for myself, personally. I want to find out what pleases him, and by his grace and power and all that is in me, I've got to do it. Who did it before me? Well, David did. This is what this king is saying. Who went on before? He was a king. He found someone in his role, and he says, watch what he did. David was worth following, patterning himself. And then he said, I got to do it now. And he started doing it. You've got to start doing it right where you are in the role that you're in. There is some husband, some wife, some teenager at school, some divorcee, some widower who is looking at your life and mine and determining what they will do based on what you are doing. So So you got to think about it. Someone will follow you. In his role, this is what he did. It takes time. You know what the Bible says for the first psalm, one of the first psalms I memorized way back in the day. This righteous man delights in the word of God. He meditates in it day and night. And then promises are given by the living God himself. He will be, he shall. Let's use old terminology, King James Version. He shall be. It's a certainty. God cannot lie. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf, its testimony won't wither, and everything he does prospers. Now, let me ask you something. Who in here does not want to be successful? Who wants to be a loser? Am I there? She's like, oh, he's feeling it now, boy. I know there's a 3D one. I don't know how they do it, the 3D loser. All right, moving on. Everything he does prospers. And I said, okay, if I take time to ponder, to, as it were, cause my heart, as Proverbs said, to keep these things like Mary did, kept these things in her heart and pondered them. The Spirit of God says, I'll change you. I'll make your life fruitful. People will pick from you. They will find you. You ever pick? Have you ever seen a fruit tree, my dear? And she's like, yes. Have you ever seen a fruit tree? Thank you. They say, yes. Say it so I can hear you. Yes, praise the Lord. He's like, yes, I'm holy. What happens when you pick that fruit? What were you thinking of when you were looking at that tree? You can talk to me. I'll tell them. Go ahead. I was hungry. Appetite. What else? Did it look good? Oh, it looked real good. Now you know how Eve felt, right? Bad. I was hungry. And it looked good. That's what the Spirit of God says your life becomes to someone else who's watching you. I'm hungry. And they look good. They're life. They're sweet. You know what? Have you ever known someone? Some of you, you can raise your hands. Hopefully they're not sitting here. Have you ever known someone? You always want to invite them. When you're having a special something at your house, you want this person there because they walk in the door. It's like, bing! Then you just love them. They just ooze niceness. They help with the dishes. They put stuff on the table. They talk about, kids look so good. How many of you know someone like that? You always want to, don't be ashamed. Brother Len, you have nobody that, he's older than Methuselah and you don't know anybody. Come on, brother. Put that hand on her. You know, said thank you. You gotta ring it out. Help me out there, brother. Cooperate. Oh my goodness. You just want to, why are you making it so hard for me? You just want to invite them because they bring something with them. They refresh you. They refresh everybody. It just comes up. It bubbles over. Their testimony is like a leaf. Healthy. I love houseplants. My wife could kill. They all die. She's a good wife. But they're still dying. I love them. I go and pick up all the, you know, I trim them and I water them and I feed them. I love to see a healthy, I check their leaves. I remove the old ones. I keep stirring the dirt. Healthy leaf. It tells me something about the life of that plant. It's prospering. This king saw what needed to be done. And he got engaged. I won't go into all the details, but all the things that told God that they had mixed commitments. I want a little bit of God and I want a little bit of what I want. And I'll stay kind of in the middle and God won't be too angry and the graven images won't be too sad. And I'll please everybody. I'll give a sacrifice over here. I won't give the best one. I'll give the lame one because at least I gave, you know, we ever just, at least I went to church. At least I broke bread today. Ever did that? Don't respond.
Don't respond. Ever thought that? I did my part. And then we go, oh, I'm just as good as he. Because, you know, I know what he did. And if he could break bread, I could break bread. Okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. But remember the first gating item? He did what was right in the sight of Jehovah, not himself. What pleases God? The first and foremost thing. What did David do when he was in that circumstance? David was a man after God's own heart. He wrote songs. He was in love. You know, one of the dearest circumstances. Look at that. Time is just gone. Just barely got past introduction. When David brought the ark in to Jerusalem, he's sitting in his palace, watching the cedars, checking it all out, seeing where he came from. And then he looked out, and there's the ark of God under a tent. And you know what he says? That's not right. That's not right. Here's a man that loves God. He said, that's not right. I'm putting it in our vernacular. Ain't right. Is that better? It's not right. I dwell in a house of cedars. I think he said to Nathan, and the ark of God dwells under tents. Nathan said, whatever's in your heart, brother, do it. I love that kind of brother. Go on, brother, do the right thing. Encourage you to keep on going. And he started something that his son had to finish, but it never left his heart. Why? The man loved God. Point blank. In spite of everything. And his greatest failures came after that point. Yet he never gave it up. His love for God stayed in spite of the failures in between. What did Josiah do? Dear saints of God, the spiritual life is a time-intensive thing. It's not overnight. But our part, my responsibility, is to do... When God says, here's your responsibility. The other day I was talking to a loved one. They were giving me all kind of justifications for what, who did what, when, where, and how, and whom, and ahem, and ahem, and they went on and on. And I said, you're right, you're right, you're right. They did that, they said this. Can't argue with you.
Well, what do you have to say?
Well, what does God think? They gave me that. I said, well, what does the word say? Because you're not going to be held accountable for what they did. You will be held answerable for what you understood to be the right thing and did or did not do it. So what is the right thing to do? What does the word say? It's hard to do that sometimes. I'll be the first to tell you. To go back to the word of God and say, all right, what does the Spirit of God tell me to do? He went against the grain. He began to purge. Purge. Get rid of it. Move it out. Take it away. See how change comes? Every man here who's married today, don't raise your hands. You know who you are. How will you know how to be a good or better husband? How will you know what the right thing to do is? I know the wives are sitting there saying, praise the Lord, somebody, praise the Lord. The Lord answers prayer. All right, sisters, what about you? I was speaking at one of these marriage rededication after 25 years or 25,000 years, whatever it is, you know, the ones that they renew their vows, that type of thing. You will be doing that 20 something years from now. He's like, yeah, brother. Go ahead. And as we were speaking, the thought came to me. I had my, you know, little message prepared. And for those of you who've had the privilege of just sharing from God's word, sometimes the Spirit of God brings something right there. And you're like, oh, well, okay. Then I'm going to go and change the plan. So I changed the plan a little bit. And I went to Ephesians 5 where it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I know the sisters were ready to sing hallelujah like our Pentecostal brethren. They were about to get up, okay? I said, but before we do that, that is at the end of the chapter. Let's read the way we read in America. We go to the beginning of the chapter. And it says we should be children of God walking in love. It says we should be children of light.
And further down in the middle, it says we should be spirit-filled. So I said, now answer the question. Which woman out there, if she's walking as a child of God in love and walking in the light and spirit-filled, has any time to be looking at what a man is doing or not doing? Everybody else sat down. I said, you want to know why? I said, we begin to notice what others are doing when we're not doing what we ought to be doing. We're waiting for them to get up and do what they ought to do. Then we'll do what we ought to do. And the spiritual life doesn't work that way. It starts with finding out what God wants me to do. And then, when I am certain it is His will, I start. And I will not move off of that course. Here it is. Broke down the altars, verse 4. The sun pillars, cut them down. The Asherahs, the graven images, the molten images, broke them down, made them dust, strewed them upon the graves of those that sacrificed to them, burned the bones of the priests upon the altars, purged Judah and Jerusalem, and so did he in the cities. Check this out. Not only did he do it where he was, he took it as far as he can go based on the scope of influence that God had given him. He wasn't a Christian here. He took it out there. He wasn't just a king in his throne. In the city, he went as far as God gave him reach. And he kept on doing it. Every one of us is a leader. We have friends. We have relatives. We have acquaintances. We have folks we meet in the supermarket. See us every week buying food. We have opportunities to make a difference. To shine as lights, to be different. But it's not just getting up in the morning and saying, well, today I'm going to be very different. No, it starts with seeking God. This is how it starts. And I assure you on the authority of God's word, if every one of us sitting here this morning says to himself or herself, Lord, I want to know you. I genuinely want to know what you're like. There's so much I don't understand. I'll be the first to tell you. As the years pass, I realize how much I really don't understand about the Word of God, its truths, the nature of God. It opens up. It's like you walk into a room and it's wide open. It's open. It's broad. It's broader than, this narrow way is a broad way for the one walking in the way. Because you're dealing with God. And when you begin to find out that he is so much more than you thought, you begin to see yourself for what you are. You're nothing but dust. And he indwells dust willingly. He lives inside a dust molded vessel. So wherever you are, you can say, Lord, change me. And when you begin to seek his word, find one in his word who walked the talk. Sometimes you find many. A little bit here might be Gideon. A little bit over here might be John the Baptist. You know, a little bit down the road, it might be Brother Luke, the physician. It might be someone. You might be a John Mark. I ain't got time for this. I'm out of here. And a few years later, you look back and you said, Lord, I'm ashamed. I'm a failure. But you go back to the word of God. And Paul said, bring him. He's profitable. If John could come back, I can go back. I can be profitable. I can be useful. Find what fits in your circumstance. God has a little in here for everybody. I don't care who you are. You could have been at the top and dropped to the bottom. He has men like you in his word. Moses, great leader starting out. Kill the man. Got to go out of Egypt. 40 years, wasted life, you might think. But not with God. When God was ready, hey, Moses! Moses came. I'm God, the God of your fathers. The time was right. Lord, I can't even speak. You're going back to Egypt. Did he send an army? No, he sent a man with a staff in his hand who would just simply say, thus saith the Lord. That was all that was needed. And he went down in history. Never a man was like Moses. So in closing, tonight there's really a fourth thing. But even if you don't get the four, master the three. It's not about knowing doctrine. Doctrine is absolutely essential. But if we're going to start somewhere,
Josiah
did what was right in the sight of Jehovah. This is a daily thing. Lord, what is the right thing?
Sometimes folks have said to me, well, you changed your mind. You said this, you know, a few years ago. I said, you're right. I did. But I learned something new.
I saw my error. I was wrong. This is what it says. Not my opinion. Here's what it says.
Oh, you're changing it. Yeah, I'm changing it.
Because I was wrong and God was right. He did what was right in the sight of Jehovah. Secondly, he followed in the ways of his father David. He found someone that he can pattern his life. It doesn't have to be your father. Your father's doing the best he can with what he has to.
That is your father, of course. No. Stay with me, brother.
It may not be him.
One day you'll have two little eyes looking at you.
Then you'll understand his life, his burden, his concerns, his care. You'll know it. It may not be the daddy or the mommy. It might be someone here. But find someone who lived it. And then thirdly, pattern yourself after it. Prove it for yourself, personally. Prove it for yourself. I don't care what anybody says. I need to know if God is real. Sometimes I ask him for some things in prayer, and I said, man, if the folks knew I was praying for this, they'd be like, oh, brother, that may not be holy. I said, I just need to know he can answer. I need to know you're here with me. God has said no many times in a circumstance where God is currently saying no. I got to the point I said, Lord, all right, you know what? I can't open the door if you close it. And if you open it, I can't shut it. You're in charge. I will just sit back and do what I need to do that's in front of me right now. And that's good enough. Stay with God. Prove it for yourself. Apply it. With me? Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for the examples and the truths that we have in your precious word. We pray for each one bowed in your presence. We ask, loving Father, that you'd help us right where we are to prove that you are all sufficient for our need. As we depart from here, Lord, take us to our home safely. Take us with your blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen.